Myanmar's military has been hit with fresh sanctions. The US has just announced it will impose measures against those responsible for last week's coup. US President Joe Biden stated he's prepared to go further if Myanmar's military fails to relinquish power.
The US government is taking steps to prevent the generals from improperly having access to the $1 billion in Burmese government funds held in the United States. And today, I've approved a new executive order enabling us to immediately sanction the military leaders who directed the coup, their business interests, as well as close family members. And we're also going to impose strong exports controls. We're freezing U.S. assets that benefit the Burmese government while maintaining our support for healthcare, civil society groups, and other areas that benefit the people of Burma directly.
U.S. President Joe Biden speaking just a short time ago. The UN Human Security Council will meet tomorrow to discuss the crisis. The UN Security Council will meet tomorrow to discuss the crisis in Myanmar as police continue to use force against protesters. And there's growing pressure on foreign companies now to cut ties with the military. Ronan Lee is a visiting scholar at Queen Mary University of London and author of Myanmar's Rohingya Genocide. Ronan Lee, welcome to Breakfast.
Great to be with you.
Can I get your response to these measures just announced by US President Joe Biden? He's demanding the military relinquishes control. Will these sanctions he's announced put real tangible pressure on the military? Will they do anything, do you think, to force the military out again?
Well, the sanctions from President Biden do two things. It sends a message to the military that the United States is prepared to take action. And that's not something the United States has been prepared to do on Myanmar for the last 4 years. So that's immediately a change in terms of US engagement.
Can I just stop you there, Ronan? Does that mean the US under the Trump administration, it did not go along with what many other countries did, which was put some sanctions on Myanmar because of the Rohingya situation?
Yeah, the general view was that President Trump was utterly disengaged when it came to Myanmar and the Rohingya. And that was made very clear when he met with advocates in the White House and appeared not to know who the Rohingya were or where they were from or where Myanmar was. So the Biden administration is immediately incredibly refreshing for people who would desire the international community to be more engaged with Myanmar. And it's probably never been more important than right now. But the second thing that Biden's engagement does is sends a strong message to the protesters in Myanmar that the US has their back and that the international community has their back. President Biden said that he was coordinating with allies. He was driving diplomatic outreach. And his message was, as he said, to the people of Burma, that they're making their voices heard and the world is listening. And what that means is that the protests will continue. I mean, there's been protesters in every town, village and city of Myanmar for the last week, making clear they do not want the military back in power.
The US president, as we heard in that grab there, was very keen to say that he would try and direct the sanctions so they did not hurt the people of Burma directly. But that is usually the broader impact or fallout from a broad spectrum sanction from a nation like the United States, that it does somehow impact the living standards and the services available for the people. Is it possible for the US to bring in sanctions that really do tightly target the generals and their personal wealth and their personal families as against the people of Myanmar?
Yeah, I think it is. There was a UN Human Rights Council report just 18 months ago that dealt with this in some detail. And its suggestion was that the sanctions needed to target military companies and companies that were connected with the families of military officials and cronies. And at the same time, there needed to be encouragement for investment with companies that weren't connected with the military in Myanmar. And that's something that we've got the capacity to do. I mean, it's possible to create a list. Lots of human rights advocacy groups have lists of the sorts of companies that are connected with the military. I'm certain that the US State Department keeps a very similar list, probably Australia too, and the EU. They'll know exactly who the major players are in terms of connections with senior generals and the military more generally.
And most people aren't very aware of how the economy and the politics run in Myanmar. Can you explain for us, that list you're talking about, how the army generals and their families are profiting from commercial arrangements between foreign companies and the military? What are the companies that the military generals control, and how much are they worth to them personally?
Well, they're worth billions, and they're worth billions to the families of generals. Myanmar's military has dominated the country for the last 60 years, but they've run it like organized crime. They've run it like a mafia, where part of being a general was that you would get the right to provide economic benefits for your family. You'd be able to provide import-export licenses. You'd be able to provide connections and approvals, so that the family members could get into businesses, I mean, hotels, transport, construction, natural resource extraction, of course, jade and rubies, they're in real estate. And it had the effect of squeezing out people that weren't connected with the military. And it's tipped the balance within Myanmar and within its economy in favour of military-connected people for too long. What President Biden's trying to do, and what I think other international actors will do, is they'll try and make the cost of the coup to the families and the cronies connected with the military higher than the cost of reversing the coup, releasing the civilian leaders, and allowing Myanmar to progress towards democracy.
And how likely is that? I mean, there are some big movers in this. Japan's brewing giant Kirin has announced it's ending a joint venture with a company linked to the military. The director of a Hong Kong-listed gaming company says he'll exit his investment in a tobacco firm linked to the military. So there is already some cost to this. But how likely, and what does history tell us about the impact of foreign investment being enough to force something like basically the reversal of a coup?
Well, in the past in Myanmar, it wasn't, but there's already signs that this coup is different. Kirin, for instance, has withdrawn. Kirin didn't withdraw from Myanmar over the genocide and forced deportation of the Rohingya in 2017. So Kirin, as a major multinational, perceives that something is different this time. And I think what they think is different is that there's going to be international engagement and consequences, both economic and reputational, right, for them.
Ronan, thank you very much for joining us.
Great to.
Ronan Lee is visiting scholar at Queen Mary University in London and author of Myanmar's Rohingya Genocide. And the UN Human Rights Council meets on Friday to discuss Myanmar.